One of the great areas of discovery in the ancient Near East is that of the Hittite treaties. In the Hittite treaty, a king would make a treaty with a vassal people, and the outline of that treaty found in these Hittite treaties, we find an amazing parallel in the book of Deuteronomy. We might call the king the suzerain, the ruler, the one who's over others, who is making this treaty, and the people that he's making it with, the vassal people. It is significant that the treaty pattern went something like this. The suzerain, or the king, would talk to the people, the vassal people, that is, and tell them, here's what I've done for you. Here's how I've cared for you. Here's where I've brought you. Then there would be the body of the treaty, and it was composed of two parts. First would be what we might call the relationship between the vassal and the suzerain. Here's what I expect of you in this relationship. You're to be loyal to me. You're to not to go to any other king or suzerain. And I expect this kind of absolute loyalty. And then here, the second part of the body of the treaty would be, here's how you are to relate to each other in keeping this treaty. This would then be followed by a blessing and a cursing, or a cursing and blessing section. If you don't do what I say, here are the curses. If you do what I say, here are the blessings that will come to you. Then the treaty is concluded by an epilogue, when a jury is called to bear witness that a treaty has been made. It is this background that helps us understand the book of Deuteronomy. And I might say these are basically second century treaties, which to me lead to the authorship of Moses as the author of the book of Deuteronomy, being that they are second millennium BC treaties. And I believe that Moses is the author of this great book of Deuteronomy at that time, around 1400 BC. As we look at the book, first of all, in the first four chapters of Deuteronomy, as Moses is addressing the generation about to enter into the land, in the first four chapters, Yahweh tells the people what he has done for them. He is the suzerain, they are his vassal people, and he reviews for them how he has brought them up to this point and what he has done for them. This is then followed in chapters 4 to 26 with the body of the treaty. And in chapter 4 to 11, we have what we might call the vertical part. Here's how they are to vertically relate to him as the transcendent suzerain. They are to love him with all of their heart, soul, and mind, as seen in the Shema. They are to be faithful to him. They are to do away with all idolatry and have no other suzerains before them. This is then followed by the second part of the body of the treaty in chapters 12 to 26. We might call this the horizontal part. This is how you are to relate to each other. And in keeping of the treaty, here's what I expect of you, and the variant statutes and laws in terms of how they are to live out this treaty in the land is set forth. Then, in chapters 27 to 30, Moses sets forth the ideas of cursing or the realities of cursing and blessing. It's a cursing and blessing section. For example, if you don't do what I say, here are the curses. And we see that laid out in chapter 27. If you do what I say, here are the blessings. And he talks about how you'll be blessed, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, and so forth. So following the curses will come blessings if you do what I say. And so if you don't do what I say, though, here are the curses. So there's this mixture of cursing and blessing that continues to permeate this section. Then finally, in chapters 31 to chapter 34, we have what we might call the epilogue, or the conclusion. And in this, chapter 32 is especially insightful in that a jury is called to bear witness that a treaty has been made. The jury is heaven and earth. The text says, "Hear, O heavens, and I will speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth." And so, heaven and earth bear witness. We have a dual witness here, that a covenant has been made between God the suzerain and Israel as the vassal people, starting off with what God had done for them, followed by the body of the treaty, what he expects from them in relation to him and then in relation to each other, and the blessings and cursings that will come if there is disobedience, cursing. If there is obedience, blessing. Followed then by the courtroom scene of the jury bearing witness that a covenant has been made. This is a beautiful book, and Jesus Christ fulfills it so wondrously in the New Testament. When he was tempted by Satan, he quotes from Deuteronomy repeatedly, showing that he is one as that he is the God-man who has fulfilled as the final Israel what Israel did not effectively do, as we know their later history. It's a wonderful book, and the Suzerainty Treaty opens a path through that book in understanding how the Holy Spirit has formatted it for our edification and learning.